Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with the latter days as we pick up in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 1. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
This time shall we turn in our Bibles to Jeremiah 31. Now there are those who say that God has cast off Israel as a nation forever, and that all of the blessings, all of the covenants, and all of the promises that God made to this nation are now fulfilled in the church, that we have become Israel after the Spirit, and being spiritual Israel, God has forsaken the nation itself and is now pouring out all of the blessings that he had promised through his covenant upon the church. Now, this teaching creates all kinds of problems as far as your views of eschatology, because immediately it places the church in the great tribulation. Now, as we were in the 30th chapter of Jeremiah, we found out where God speaks of the nation Israel going to be in the great tribulation and experiencing that time of Jacob's trouble. But it is our view and strong conviction that the church will not be in the great tribulation, inasmuch as the great tribulation is the time of God's wrath being poured out upon the world. And the Lord said that we have not been appointed, that is the church, unto wrath. So as we get into chapter 31, it is more or less a continuation of chapter 30. For he said, at that same time, at what time? As you go back to verse 24 of chapter 30, he declares, the fierce anger of the Lord shall not return until he has done it and has performed the intents of his heart. In the latter days, ye shall consider it. At that same time, that would be then the latter days, saith the Lord, when God again restores the nation Israel to a place of divine favor and love. At that same time, saith the Lord, will I be the God of all of the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Now, in the 9th chapter of Daniel, Daniel was seeking the Lord concerning the repatriation of the Jews back to their land after the 70 years of Babylonian captivity. The whole 9th chapter of Daniel begins with the fact that Daniel had been reading the prophecies of Jeremiah, and he discovered by the words of Jeremiah that the time that God had ordained the Babylonian captivity was 70 years, and realizing that these 70 years were about over, Daniel began to pray unto the Lord, confessing his sins and the sins of the nation and the righteousness of God in the judgment and in this period of 70 years that they had been in exile in Babylon. And as Daniel was in prayer, the angel of the Lord came unto him and declared unto him that he was highly blessed and favored of the Lord, and that the Lord had sent unto Daniel to give to him wisdom and understanding as regards to the nation Israel and its future. And he said, know and understand that from the time the commandment that there are 77s that are determined upon the nation Israel to finish the transgressions, to make an end of sin, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to complete the prophetic picture, to anoint the most holy one or the most holy place and to bring in the everlasting kingdom. 77s. But no one understand that from the time the commandment goes forth to restore and rebuild Jerusalem unto the coming of the Messiah the Prince will be 77s and 62 sevens, or 69 7-year periods, or 483 years. And of course, it was 483 years from the time the commandment went forth to restore and rebuild Jerusalem to the coming of Jesus Christ in his triumphant entry. He came 483 years to the day from the commandment went forth to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. Now, that takes care of 69 of the sevens. But we have one 7-year period unaccounted for. He said, after the Messiah is revealed, he will be cut off without receiving the kingdom or without receiving anything for himself. And the Jews will be dispersed. And that is exactly what happened. Christ came at the appointed time, but rather than being anointed, and rather than ushering in at that moment the everlasting kingdom, and rather than completing all of the prophecies, the Messiah was cut off. He did bring reconciliation for our iniquities by his death upon the cross. He has reconciled us to God. And he did make an end of sin. He did finish sin as far as we are concerned, making that reconciliation for us. But the latter three prophecies were not fulfilled and wait a yet future date for fulfillment. Messiah was cut off, and then he went on to say, and the prince of the people that shall come will make a covenant with the nation, Israel. But in the midst of that 7-year period, he will break the covenant and establish the abomination which causes desolation. And until the end, desolation is determined. Now, Daniel then went on, told about the 70th week, but he did make a definite break between the 69th and the 70th week, and there has been a definite break. When Jesus was cut off, not for himself, but for the people, and when he was cut off without receiving the kingdom, the Jews were dispersed and have been dispersed into all of the world. Until in the past generation, the Zionist movement, as they've gone back and are going back to their homeland and have established as of May 1948 a homeland. Now, Jesus, having made reference to Daniel's prophecy in Matthew 24 in response to the question of the disciples, what will be the sign of your coming in the end of the age? He said, now, when you see the abomination of desolation that was spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, then flee to the wilderness. What is the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet? Is when the Antichrist, this prince of the people that shall come, will come into the temple and stand in that holy place of the temple and creates the abomination of desolation by declaring that he is God, stopping the daily prayers and sacrifices and demanding that he be worshiped as God. Paul the Apostle speaks of this in the second chapter of Thessalonians, how that he will stand in the temple of God, declaring himself to be God and demanding to be worshiped as God. Now, Jesus gave this as a part of the sign of the end of the age and his coming. And he is talking again to the Jews. And he said, when you see this happen, and let him who reads understand, then flee to the wilderness. Pray that your flight will not be on the Sabbath day or the new moon. And don't bother to go home to get your clothes. Just get out of there as quickly as you can. And of course, in Revelation, we are told that God will give them wings of the angel to bear them to the wilderness place where they will be nourished for 3.5 years. So there is one 7-year period in which God is going to be dealing with the nation Israel once again. 70 sevens were determined on the nation. 69 of them have been fulfilled. We are still waiting for the 70th seven to be determined, or that 70th seven to be fulfilled. It will not be fulfilled until the church is taken out of here. Right now, God's Spirit is resting upon the church, and the church is God's instrument upon the earth. But the Lord is going to take his church out, and when he does, then he will put his Spirit again upon the nation Israel, and he'll begin to deal with them once more nationally. God has not cast off Israel forever. God is going to deal with them yet, and they shall yet become the covenant people of God. The 7 years that God is dealing with them will be a time, as Jeremiah writes here in the 30th chapter, of Jacob's trouble. It's not going to be an easy period. It's going to be very difficult. They are going to be driven from their land once again. And there's going to be another Holocaust, unfortunately, as Satan vents his anger against these people who were God's instrument of bringing the Messiah into the world. And through the Antichrist, will seek to make war against Israel to destroy these people completely. So at the end of that 7 year period, then Jesus will return again, and they will receive, recognize, and honor him as their Savior, as their Messiah, as their Lord. And we will be united with them in the kingdom as we serve the Lord. So at that same time, saith the Lord, will I be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. Thus saith the Lord, the people which were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness, even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. So God speaks of his love for Israel, an everlasting love. And with loving kindness he has drawn them. Again, I will build thee, and thou shalt be built, O virgin of Israel. Thou shalt again be adorned with thy tabrets, and thou shalt go forth in the dances of them that make merry. Thou shalt yet plant vines upon the mountains of Samaria. Now that's the West Bank. So notwithstanding all of the political hassle that's being made over it now, it's still going to be Israel's. And they're going to plant vines there in Samaria, in the West Bank. The planters shall plant and shall eat them as common things. For there shall be a day that the watchman upon the Mount Ephraim shall cry, arise ye, and let us go up to Zion unto the Lord our God. When Christ comes and establishes the kingdom and sits there upon his throne on Mount Zion. For thus saith the Lord, sing with gladness for Jacob, and shout among the chief of the nations. Publish ye, praise ye, say, O Lord, save thy people and the remnant of Israel. For behold, I will bring them from the north country, Russia, and gather them from the coast of the earth, and with them the blind and the lame, the women with child, and her that travails with child together, a great company shall return thither. They shall come with weeping, and with supplications will I lead them, and will cause them to walk by the rivers of waters in a straight way, wherein they shall not stumble. For I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Now that's an interesting statement for God to declare that Ephraim was his firstborn, because we remember from the story that Manasseh was the older. And yet God said, Ephraim is my firstborn. So firstborn does not mean the first to be born as far as a space of time. But it means first in prominence, or has the preeminence of those that were born. And that causes us to understand other scriptures, which are used by the Jehovah Witnesses to try to prove that Jesus is not the Son of God, or is not God manifested in the flesh. Hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, He that scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd does his flock. Now, this is God's promise. He says, proclaim it. I've scattered them, but I'm going to gather them again. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and ransomed him from the hand of him that was stronger than he. Therefore, they shall come and sing in the height of Zion, and shall flow together to the goodness of the Lord. There will be wheat and wine and oil for the young of the flock and of the herd. And their souls shall be as a water garden, and they shall not sorrow any more at all. That glorious day when they are received again and joined unto God and to his Son, Jesus Christ. Then shall the virgin rejoice in the dance, both young men and old together, for I will turn their mourning into joy and will comfort them and make them rejoice from their sorrow. And I will satiate the soul of the priest with fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rahel weeping for her children and refused to be comforted for her children because they were not. Now, Matthew in the New Testament takes this as a prophecy of Herod killing all of the children 2 years old and under at the time of the birth of Christ in order that he might destroy the king that was born, that the wise men from the east came looking for him. And Joseph being warned by the angel in a dream to flee to Egypt with the child had left Bethlehem, and Herod had ordered all of the children 2 years and under to be slain in Bethlehem, that Matthew said the prophecy might be fulfilled, which declared Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are not. And so he sees that as a prophecy of this period in which Herod ordered the slaying of the children. Now, I would not, in reading through this, see that this was a prediction of that event. But I accept that it is because Matthew, by the Holy Spirit, declares that it is. And the New Testament is really the best commentary we have on the Old Testament. And it is interesting to me, in the prophecies concerning Jesus Christ, how these things are just sort of hid here, and yet those enlightened by the Holy Spirit suddenly see them, and they see their fulfillment in the Lord. And just in reading this in its context, we are really talking about a yet future event, and yet by the Holy Spirit, Matthew says this was fulfilled and was a prediction of Herod's slaying of the innocent children. Thus saith the Lord, refrain thy voice from weeping and thine eyes from tears, for thy work shall be rewarded, saith the Lord, and they shall come again from the land of the enemy. So God promises the restoration, coming out from the land of the enemy. There is hope in thine end, saith the Lord, that thy children shall come again to their own border. So you've got hope. You're going to be coming back again into the borders of the country. For I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself, thou hast chastised me, and I was chastised as a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke. Turn thou me, and I shall be turned, for thou art the Lord my God. Surely after that I was turned, I repented, and after that I was instructed, and I smote upon my thigh, I was ashamed, yea, even confounded, because I did bear the reproach of my youth. Is Ephraim my dear son? Is he a pleasant child? For since I spake against him, I do earnestly remember him still. Therefore, my bowels are troubled for him. I surely will have mercy upon him, saith the Lord. Now listen how God speaks about a wayward son, Ephraim. Not that he's cast them off forever. I'm through with him. I disinherit him. I disown him. But God did speak of the judgment that was going to come upon him. I spoke against him, but I earnestly remember him still. And actually, I inwardly am groaning for him. And I will surely have mercy upon him. Set thee up waymarks. Make thee high heaps. Set thine heart toward the highway, even the way which thou wentest. Turn again, O virgin of Israel, turn again to these thy cities. How long will you go about, O thou backsliding daughter? For the Lord hath created a new thing in the earth. A woman shall compass a man. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, as yet they shall use this speech in the land of Judah and the cities thereof, when I shall bring again their captivity. The Lord bless thee, O habitation of justice and mountain of holiness. This will be again declared. Oh, the Lord bless thee. And he says, I will use this speech in the land of Judah, in the cities thereof, when I shall bring again their captivity.
We'll continue with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Jeremiah in our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Jeremiah 31 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
And now may the Lord help you to assimilate that which we have studied, and may he bring to your remembrance those things which he has commanded. And may you be enriched in the knowledge of God and his will and his plan for your life. May the Lord be with you to bless you, to guide you, and may you be kept by that power of God through faith and trust in him. In Jesus' name.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
As Easter is approaching, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is on the hearts of Christians everywhere and how they might witness this beautiful story to their loved ones. With this in mind, The Word for Today would like to present a special MP3 entitled My Redeemer Lives that includes 14 reassuring messages to answer the significance of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and a life that should bring hope to everyone. Also included is a special presentation of the crucifixion from a doctor's perspective, as well as a powerful salvation message shared by Pastor Chuck. And when you order My Redeemer Lives MP3, we'll include a free CD by Pastor Chuck to witness to your loved ones that Jesus is indeed the Messiah. This CD, entitled A Risen Love, clearly presents the evidence to help others make a decision that will impact their immediate and eternal future. For more information, contact The Word for Today at 800-272-9673 or visit us online at thewordfortoday.org.